One thing I noticed as soon as I came in here, that this pulpit is not near as short as the one at the school. So I appreciate that. And I was a little nervous when I preached at the school. I'm not nervous at all tonight, so we may be here till who knows when. It's only 5:18 in Fort Morgan, Colorado right now, and so I'm usually not done till 8. So you just strap in, hang on, and it could get a little bumpy, but it'll be all right. So, you know, and I left here, and I didn't have any gray hair, but Mrs. Camp did. And it just turned grayer, so I didn't do it all, but I did give her a few gray hairs, I'm sure. So we've had a great time, and it's always sad, you know, when it's time to go back home, but it's time. Our oldest son, we were talking to him today, and having to deal with his two other siblings and dealing with Brother Gary Norris. Many of you probably don't know Brother Gary, but he told his mother today, he said, it's time for you guys to come home. And so I guess we'll head home tomorrow. But thank you, Brother Camp, for letting me preach tonight. Psalm 55, where we're going to be tonight. About a year ago, in our church on Wednesdays, I said, why don't you pick out one of your favorite psalms? And what we'll do is we'll just start preaching through those psalms that you pick. And so this was one of those psalms that someone had chosen. And what a blessing that's been to look at the psalms and so many of them that were written by David. I think of all the character studies that I've done and looking through the scripture, David is definitely one of my favorite men to study. Here he is, a man that was a man after God's own heart. He was the king of God's chosen nation. And in all of that, he still made mistakes. And isn't it nice to know, too, that God didn't just put him on some great podium and make him out to be perfect in all ways. We see his flaws as well as the good points of his life. And it was encouraging to me as you read the Psalms, you start seeing a part of his heart and you start seeing who he is and how he dealt with everyday life and how he dealt with the pressures of life. And as as we get into this Psalm, I don't know how long or how far we're going to get. I will quit at the regular time. As a pastor, and I know that some of you go to school, but I know many of you don't. And so you come because, obviously, your kids at school do too, but you come because you love the Lord. You want to learn and understand what God's Word has to say. You've been busy today. You've had a long day at work or whatever else that you're doing. You're probably tired, and so I'll make sure that you're out here on the regular time. Or at least my part, I'm done at the regular time. The rest of it's up to Him. And I'm thinking He don't want to make all of you mad either if there's 16 of you going to have a concealed weapon. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea, Brother Camp. And so, well, but anyway, and as we get into Psalm 55, and I don't think we'll get it all done, but I do want to encourage you as we get through this and try to get through some of the points. And as we read through this, we find out that David is dealing with a time where he had someone who was a close friend betray him. And as I deal with those in our church, we're in Fort Morgan, Colorado, and I tell people all the time, for someone to move to Fort Morgan, Colorado, you have to be called to be there. We're not in the mountains. We're not seeing the beautiful sunsets going over the flat tops or any of those. We're out on the plains of Fort Morgan. The wind blows 40 miles an hour. We've had 100 mile an hour winds. We have sand. We have dust. We have feedlots. We have beet factories. We have the packing plant. I told my wife, I said, of all the places I've lived, and we've lived in three states, two states twice, and so I get a little confused, but it's the smelliest place I've ever lived. And you have to be called sometimes to know to be there. But as I deal with those people and those everyday people, here they are, they're just working hard and doing what they can, the best of their ability to serve the Lord. And as we go along and as we're serving the Lord, we find out that people disappoint us. People truly are a disappointment in our lives. They're a source of aggravation. They're a source of stress. They're also such a great blessing, but as we get into this psalm, we're going to see that it's not just each one of us that are disappointed with people, but David also, being the king of Israel, also was disappointed. And as we get into this and we're looking at this, I hope you understand that there's more to this than just dealing with a friendship that may have severed or someone that has discouraged you along the way. There may be something else going on in your life right now, whatever it may be. It may be the stress at work. It may be something else that is discouraging you or a disappointment to you. And I pray that this will truly help you in your everyday walk. And so in verses 1 through 8, we'll definitely try to get through that. We see David's oppression. And in verse 1, verses 1 through 3, in his oppression, we see his plea to God. It says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." And so now, he starts off something that every one of us ought to do when we start dealing with something in our life, whether it's stress, like I said, financial stress, job stress, the political stress, the marriage amendment that you're voting on next Tuesday, I believe it is, May 8th, and you start looking at all the things that's going on in this world, and it truly can become discouraging in your life. And here he's showing us that when you start getting to that in your life, the first thing that you ought to do is not take your complaint to your wife or to your husband or take it out on your children or complain to your pastor. The first thing that you ought to do when those things start coming and burden you down is go to God. "Lord, give ear to my prayers. Lord, I truly want you to be listening and hearing what it is that is truly bothering me, and give ear to my prayer." And when you get the picture of giving ear to my prayer, it's not that God is sitting up on his throne and too busy to listen to you, but he's asking God in a precious, personal way, "Lord, I want you to bend over. I want you to listen to what it is that I'm asking you." And praise the Lord, we have someone that we serve who is a personal God. He knows everything about me. He knows my weaknesses, my fears, whatever it is that about me that are strong points in my life. God knows everything about me because he's a personal God. And he is going to give ear as we cry unto him, "and hide not thyself from my supplication." You know, and I read this and I study this and I think about when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Can you imagine the feeling that must have been there when God the Father turned his back upon him? I cannot imagine the feeling that would have been. "And he did that for me." You know why? So that God won't turn his back on me. Praise the Lord for the mercy that he shows us every day. Praise the Lord that he will give ear to my prayer. "And hide not thyself from my supplications. Attend unto me and hear me." My wife on her cell phone for one of our kids, when he calls, the ringtone is, "Mom, Mom, 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 Mom." And it's just like at home. He can call it, "Mom, Mom, Mom." And you ever thought of that? I had a mom one time. Now, she was kidding, okay? But she said, "Having children is like being pecked to death by a flock of chickens." But praise the Lord that we do love our kids, all right? And our kids are mentally okay and emotionally stable, all right? But there are times where you just feel that way, don't you? But here, to attend unto me. You ever thought of that? You know, and you understand, those of you who have children, you understand what attending to someone means. It's by far more than just looking at them and walking by them. They are not going to be ignored. And as a matter of fact, we don't want to do that. We want to attend to their needs. We want to be there and help provide and hear to give attention to them. And so attend unto me and hear me. And whenever he hears, this is the idea of not just hearing something, but taking action upon that which He is hearing from us. Lord, I want You to hear me. I want You to do something with this petition that I'm bringing to You. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Whenever you start thinking about here, He's starting now to break out into this mourning because of the oppression. We start thinking about the weight that we carry. We start thinking about the stresses of everyday life. You know, when I think about, you know what's good about this life is my walk with my Savior. This world is not a pleasant place. Whenever we think about the immorality, whenever we start thinking about the wickedness, as a matter of fact, when you start thinking about the world, this is Satan's domain, isn't it? And so we are oppressed, and because of that, there are times where we mourn because of the weight that we are carrying. We are groaning because of that burden that is upon us. And you may be sitting here tonight, and God knew that you were going to be here, and God knew and placed this on my heart to preach this to you tonight so that you can understand that that burden that you have right now, that you are trying to carry, and you are mourning and you are groaning because of the weight that it is, God wants you to give it to Him. Whatever it is. And know and understand, even in this wicked world that's around us, we can walk in it in joy and in peace and knowing that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And so, He goes on. And now He shows that source of that oppression. Somebody says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity on me. They push iniquity on me. Why in the world do you think you guys are voting on a marriage amendment next Tuesday? They are pushing iniquity upon us. That enemy of God is doing everything they can to get us to say that all of that iniquity is okay. It's all right, and it's accepted. And God is saying it's not. And so we stand with our Savior in a world that is trying to push us and casting this iniquity on us and wanting us to live and have the same mindset that they have. We're not going to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. God, through the power of that Holy Spirit, is not going to allow that to continue in our lives. And so, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. You don't think the world... And don't take it personal, okay? When you go up to somebody's door and you knock on the door, and they look at you and you tell them who you are, and they say something that's not very nice, slam the door on you, sick the mad dog that's Renee's neighbor's dog, you know, sick the rabid dog on you. And so don't take it personal because it's a spiritual battle. And in all of that, and you look at that person and you think, oh, how disgusting that person is. How disgusting those people are that are trying to push the gay agenda upon us. And soon you start taking things personal. You need to understand that those people are lost. They have no choice. They are bound to their sin. And we just need to continue to love them. We don't have to like their sin. I don't like my sin. I don't want it in my life. And I have a choice. And I still make mistakes. They have no choice. They're just doing the nature of an unsaved person. And so we need to continue to love them. But they hate me. That's okay. Let them hate you. You still love them. Not in any power that you have, but in the power of that Holy Spirit of God who indwells in you. And so here we see in his oppression his plea to God. But now we get into the part where we really like this. I like this because here was David, and I'm thinking, as I'm reading through this, I'm thinking, this sounds good. I like this because we see his desire to flee. He says, my heart is sore pained within me. You ever been to that? You ever been to that maybe as a parent that has a wayward child? You ever been that way in the stress that you have? Maybe someone here has lost a job. You're thinking, how in the world am I going to make my bills? You may have somebody that's a family member that's sick or not doing well. You may have someone that in your family that's unsaved and it truly burdens your heart. And he says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. That dread of death. And so has come upon him like a fog. You know, I think of times in my life, and I like to think that I'm normal. Don't tell me if I'm not. I'd rather just live that way, thinking that I'm halfway normal. But there are times where things do come upon you like a fog. And it's like you can't escape from it. And you're always thinking about it. And you just can't get that burden off your mind and off your heart. It seems like every day, whatever that burden is, it seems like every day you're thinking about it. You go to sleep at night and you're even praying, Lord, take this away from me. And Lord, help me to get past this. And it just keeps coming back. And it's like a fog. And he says that the terrors of death are falling upon me. And that's just like that idea of that fog. And he says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. You know, I kind of high strung, and my wife, I call her the flatliner, and praise the Lord for that, because she helps me. I'm kind of like that bird dog. I'm going to die when I'm about eight years old, you know. So 8 times 7, 7 years in dog age, so I'm not a mathematician, but 8 times 7, that's about how long I'm going to last. And my wife's going to live to be 107. Man, she's just a flatliner. But there are times where, and I hate to admit this, but there are times where you get so high strung and you wake, I've awakened in the middle of the night, and those muscles in your neck are just twitching, and the stress. And you're thinking, Lord, I don't want this. And you can't sleep very well. And you're thinking about this at the church, or you're thinking about this family, and you start taking on all of these things. And you know, I thought of this just a couple of weeks ago as a pastor. I'm just telling you my heart, so you know better how to. You're going to think, man, I really need to pray for that guy in Fort Morgan. Maybe it's the wind that does this to me. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I always go to church early and getting ready. And I'm sitting there in the basement, and my two boys have come in with me. They like to come because I always buy donuts for them. And so I always like to think maybe they just like to be spiritual, get up early with their dad and come and prepare. But I think it's the donuts that bring them. But anyway, we're sitting there, and I'm having a cup of coffee and eating my donuts. And I, all of a sudden, it just overwhelmed me. I thought, what if nobody comes today? Maybe that's one of the thoughts nobody else has, all right? But I did. I thought, you know, we deal with a voluntary army. We deal with a voluntary congregation. I mean, it's not a jail ministry. I mean, it's, you know, they come on their own. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I had that thought. And now I'm like, Lord, it's your church. But I'm just saying those things because sometimes we let things overwhelm us that we have no control over it. And here, and we let fearfulness come over us. Trembling or come upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. I remember one time, I'm not going to tell you that one. That's, the thoughts you have, you know, it's terrifying. And then he goes on, and this is the part, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. There have been times in my life, and I'm certain that there have been times in your life, and those of you who are young, there will come times in your life where you're going to think, I got to get out of this. And you know what we end up doing? God has placed us in that frying pan to teach us something. And we stay so focused on scrambling and clawing and digging, trying to get out of that frying pan, that we are not paying attention to what it is that God wants to do in our life. And the more we scramble, and the more we try to climb out of that, God's going to leave us in it. And you might even think, if I run away from this problem, and that has happened in people's lives, and we run away from it, that we're going to get away from the problem. Guess what? The problem is you, and wherever you go, you will always be there. And you'll always have that problem until you deal with it. Isn't that astounding that a guy from Missouri who lives in Fort Morgan could think of such a thought? Wherever you go, you'll always be there and you'll always have your problem. But you will until you deal with it the way that God wants you to deal with it. And in my case, I sometimes think, you know what? I'd rather sell insurance. I'd rather do anything other than pastor this group of... Is this being recorded? I won't say anything bad about my congregation then. No. Sometimes you do think, I have a bunch of knotheads. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do this any longer. And as a matter of fact, I'd just be a professional guide, and I'll take guys elk hunting, deer hunting, and I'll live in a tent and look like Jeremiah Johnson and live happily ever after. But God says that's not the case. And He shows us that, and I truly believe, you know, I think that, you ever given thought to, and preachers are always talking about this, about people in the congregation who hop, skip, and jump from church to church to church? You ever thought maybe they learned that because pastors do the same thing? I mean, the average stay of a pastor now is 3 years at best. And they just hop, skip, and jump around. Congregation sees that and do the same thing. We need to go through the trial and understand that God is putting us there for a reason and find out the reason. And usually you'll find that it strengthens your faith. It builds your character. It conforms you to Christ. And then you see the blessings of God upon your life. And so, but he says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Now you understand where my wilderness is. It would be the beautiful mountains. And I'd think that I could get up there and I could hide out. But you know what you'd find out spiritually? You would be in the Mojave Desert. Wherever you go spiritually, you will be dry. You will be thirsty. You will be hot. You will be miserable. You will not be happy in anything that you're doing. You will be robbing yourself and your family of all the blessings that God wants to give you when you run from your problems. And then he goes on, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." As I was reading through that, you go back to the Gospels, I believe Matthew 14. Remember, the disciples were on the boat. Jesus was down underneath and asleep, and the storm comes up. And here they all are. They're all fearing for their lives. So often here we are in our lives, and the water is rolling and the waves are getting deeper, and we're trying to do everything we can to get out of the mess that we're in, and we're scrambling to get out of the frying pan, and we're trying to get out of all these problems and get away from the tempest. And then all of a sudden we finally realize, you know what? God has control of this. We call upon Jesus. Jesus walks up and says, "Peace, be still." And calms everything. You ever had that happen in your life? Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. What a blessing that is. There is nothing better than when you see God do the work in your life and take care of the situation that you're in and take away that burden that has been besetting you and hindering you in your walk with God. And so, as I read this, we see David's oppression. I'm encouraged. He was the king. He had pretty much physically anything he wanted. He didn't like somebody, off be their head. I don't like the way he looked at me. You know, get him out of here. I want fresh fruit. You know, whatever it is that came to his mind, he could have it. And here he still dealt with the same things that we do today. Never think all the world's delights will bring you happiness. He had anything he wanted. And what he truly wanted and what brought him joy was his walk with the Lord. And so we see the oppression. We have oppression too, don't we? We live in Satan's world. But praise the Lord, as it says, we're just pilgrims. We're just sojourners, and we're just passing through. to our eternal home. And so we see his oppression. And then we go on and we see that wicked environment. We have a few minutes. And so in verse 9 through 11, we see the wicked environment. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. You know, I found that we can stand out there with signs and protest all the things that are going on. We can make loud noises about things like that. But you know what I found that's far more effective than doing all of those things? Going to those people, handing them a tract, giving them the gospel, and watch God change their heart. You're not going to stop abortion until you see God change the hearts of every individual. God's the one that's going to do the work. We can pray, and we should do everything we can to vote and to help with the legislation of morality. I mean, if we don't, then their immorality will just overwhelm everything. But in that, also as we're doing that, we do more importantly the work of God by giving the gospel and seeing God change the lives of each one of those individuals. And here, knowing that those who do not listen, God will do the work to destroy them. God will do the work to divide them. God will do those things that needs to be done to squelch them. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. As David's sitting there in the city, and he sees all of them, and you know, I'm going quickly here. We'd spend a whole lot more time if I had more time. I'm not an evangelist. I don't enjoy this. I want to have time with you guys to show you the depth of all of these things. But don't have that time. But the day and night, all of these evil things are going on. And here's David sitting in that city that he loves and seeing all of these things going on. And not only the wickedness, but he knows, when you see in the context of this, he knows that there's all this mischief going on because there are those who are turning against him. And he sees all of that happening. And sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. I don't know about here. I'm certain it's probably the same way here as it is out in Fort Morgan. Human nature is the same wherever. Drugs are prevalent everywhere, especially methamphetamines. And, you know, out there, because so many farmers, agriculture, they have the ammonia and the nitrogen and all of that. How to make that stuff, I have no clue. All I know is that to get my Zyrtec D, I have to go to the pharmacist and get it from them. I can't even buy it over the counter. And they're bringing in all these drugs. I see people, we have people in our congregation that have had victory over that. We have people in our congregation that's had victory over alcohol. We think of all the other things that are out in this world, and praise the Lord, God's given them victory. But the world continues to deceive people into thinking that all this is great. You know, I tell our congregation, and by the way, I don't believe in social drinking. I believe that that first drink is the one that has caused the destruction of many lives. Don't touch it. You don't need it. There's no reason to try to take and pull Scripture out of context and try to justify it. It's wrong. Stay away from it. But I tell the congregation, I said, you watch these commercials as you're watching a baseball game or a football game or whatever, and they show these men that are all buff, and they show the girls that are all buff like that and everything, and they don't show the one that's been hooked on that junk and lost all their teeth and their belly is all swelled up from the cirrhosis of the liver and their face is all red and their blood vessels are busted and they're laying in the ditch because they've lost their family, they've lost their job, lost their home, lost everything that they have, and they're desolate and have nothing because all they want is another drink. I heard now that the big thing is that teenagers are drinking the hand sanitizer because of the alcohol in it. Around our house, I found out that the people are even doing stuff with the the air that you use to clean off your computers. Using that to get high on. I don't have a clue how you do that. And thinking that that's going to make you happy. And the world is deceiving. And so we see this wicked environment that's around us. And we see that we continue to fight this every day. And then you go on, and we're not going to look at this, but after the we see that wicked environment that he's dealing with, and then you get into the next few verses, and we see the desertion of a friend. You'll find that when you start making the right choices and doing the right thing, that there's going to be people that aren't happy with you. There were people that weren't happy with David and happy with the way that he was being king. And there were many who were trying to overthrow him. And he had a friend that was just that way. A desertion of a friend. And then we see his response. And we'll end with verse 22. As David responds to these things, he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." Oh, how precious that is, isn't it? That is a promise to every one of us as we read the rest of this. Tells us what to do and then promises what he will do for each one of us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. And not only does he sustain thee, but he will establish you. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will help your faith to become firmer and stronger and become formed more into the image of God. And he shall sustain thee. He shall never, and that is emphatic, suffer or permit the righteous to be moved. To be moved means it's actually just the very opposite of being secure. And he says he'll never allow that to be. So often, we let things come into our lives and cause insecurity. We allow things to come in that sometimes weaken our faith and hinder our walk and affect our lives and affect our spouse and affect our family and affect our church. And affect those that we're around every day. And it's something that we have no control over whatsoever. You know what we need to do? We need to cast that burden upon Him. Let Him take it. Our God is big. Our God is big enough to handle whatever that burden may be. And when we cast it upon Him, He will sustain us and establish us in our walk and in our faith. So what do? Trust Him. Trust Him every day. Every day we wake up, we thank Him for who He is, in what He's doing in our lives, and look to Him to guide us through that day. And when we lay down our heads at night, and we're laying there preparing to go to sleep, we can look to Him and thank Him for what a job He's done in our lives today. What a glorious Savior we serve. And what a privilege it is to be a child of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I pray that it will truly take and set its place in each heart that's here tonight. I pray for that one that may truly be having a struggle in their lives. And that, Lord, tonight they cast it upon You. Lord, what a true, wonderful promise that You give us, knowing that when You do so, that You will sustain us and that You will firmly establish our feet in our faith. We thank You and we love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.